That's the kind of song service you don't want to call to an end. Certainly thankful for the Lord already manifesting himself with us this morning. We're tremendously blessed last night. Again, blessed this morning. Any of you that have hosted an annual meeting, you know the prayerful participation and the labor that goes into it. But the sweet fulfillment comes when you see your brothers and sisters of like precious faith and of our sister churches close to us and far away means so much to us that you're here with us this morning. And as I said last night, more than just the visitation, it's the opportunity that we have to worship together. So thankful for that. My glad pastoral heart this morning found a verse that just seemed to resonate, and I want to share with you. When in Genesis 49, when Jacob is pronouncing the blessings upon his sons, when he gets to Joseph, he says this: Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. And I just felt like this morning, looking at this congregation, I'm not talking about Little Vine Printer Baptist Church, I'm talking about this congregation, how the Lord has planted us, lovingly prepared for us, planted us by a well. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better than that, right? To have a source of living water, and then to cause our branches to spread even over the wall. And I don't mind having problems with a neighbor if it's because the branches of the vines are over the wall. I'm so thankful for the sweet privilege that the Lord has given us, and again for your presence, your prayerful participation this morning. Our arrangements this morning is that Elder Ricky Myers from Antioch Church in Mississippi lives in Macomb, or I'm Brookhaven. It shows I'm just with my Texas ignorance, but they're close to each other. But Brookhaven, Mississippi, thankful that he and Brother David were able to come and be with us. He'll preach for us first, Lord willing, and be followed by Brother Elder Randy Crawford. And would that you'd pray for these two. Again, like I felt last night, the Lord just, it's what you want as a moderator, is just for the Lord to give you a clarity, and I feel like he has, and I'll be praying as that you'll pray for these two as well. As we did or didn't do last night, we won't go through all of our prayer requests, but just know that the Lord hears our prayers, even when we can't put them into words. It's great at times to pray with specificity, because it positions you to see the Lord deliver the very things that you ask. But our Lord doesn't need us to itemize for him the things that we stand in need of, the people that we love. He knows what they stand in need of. He knows, as he demonstrated last night, he knows what each of us need in our lives and even in this worship service. He knows what we stand in need of, and I trust that the Lord will manifest his graciousness to deliver it this morning. So with those things, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and I'd like to ask Brother Seth Howard if you'll lead us in prayer this morning.
Heavenly Father, we come to thee thanking thee so much for the many blessings, being able to be here together, lift up our voices together in songs of praise unto thee. Heavenly Father, we thank thee so much for thy Son. Lord God, we thank thee for his completed work on the cross, and Lord, we thank thee for the hope that we have in him. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the gospel that you have provided unto us, that we might be able to glean in those fields of just glory, Lord. We thank thee so much, Heavenly Father, for this church and all the work that she has put in. Heavenly Father, we pray that you continue to bless this church, be with her throughout this meeting and days and weeks to come. Lord God, we thank thee for all those that have been able to gather together. Lord, we thank you for your traveling grace. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this opportunity where we have, that we can gather together and listen to the gospel preach. Lord God, we pray that you would be with these two men. Lord, whatever they have on their hearts, we pray that you would loose their tongues, that they might be able to preach the unsearchable riches and truth of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord, we pray for so many that stand in need of thy grace and mercy. Lord, we pray that you would be with them, comfort them, heal them if it be thy will. Lord God, we pray for this country. We pray, Lord God, that we would remain lowly and unknown. Lord God, we thank Thee for this wonderful Bethel spot. We pray that You would continue to bless this place. Continue to guide us and direct us and forgive us, Heavenly Father, for where we fail Thee and fall so far short. It's in Jesus' sweet and holy name that we pray. Amen.
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 Trying to get my emotions in check. Very thankful to have the opportunity to be a little while in Friendly Baptist Church among my brethren. Not too long ago, I wasn't sure I'd ever go to a church meeting again. And the doctors even told my wife to get prepared for a funeral. For through His marvelous grace, I stand before you this morning. I'd like to call your attention this morning just for a little while to Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10. If you don't know where Zechariah is, most of you know where Matthew is. Well, right before Matthew is Malachi. And right before Malachi is Zechariah. Helps you find it. As a boy, I wasn't taught to take my Bible to church. I was taught to listen. As I've gotten older, I like when the members, those in the congregation, open their Bible and turn with you. And probably the reason that it's important to me is because I'm a former school teacher. And I wanted your attention. That's it. I wanted your attention. Period. If I got boring, if I saw my kids kind of wanting to doze off, I would stand on my desk and start teaching. I would start dancing. I wanted their attention. And in the church, I want your attention more than I did my students. Because we're talking about a much greater subject. Than I taught science, by the way. Okay? That's what I taught. And as much as I like science, this is much better. Way much better. In Zechariah chapter 4, I'm going to just try to cut to the chase. Leave Brother Randy much time. Just ask that you pray. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10. It begins with a question. For who hath despised the day of small things? What I think this is referencing here is they are rebuilding the temple. Solomon's temple was great. Oh, it was very... If I can put it in Mississippi terms, it's very fancy. Okay? It might not be a good term for you, but that's how I see it. Well, this temple was not going to be like that. And I want to say right off the bat here, that doesn't matter. It's not the beauty of the inside of the building, Brother James, but it's the beauty of the congregation, the people that's gathered here. And see, I don't know your heart. I know Brother Randy's got a daughter playing basketball. He might be thinking, you know, I wonder what she's doing right now. Okay? But the Lord knows what you're thinking. And He knows where your heart is this morning. And what I want to try to get across this morning, when it comes to the Lord and our service to the Lord, there are no small things. There are no small things. Many people today feel like that they are no service to anyone. I'm blessed. My wife and I are blessed with three daughters. Some live at home, so to speak. And you know how many times they call their mama? compared to how many times they call me. I'm a little envious, I'll be honest with you. I'm a little envious. But you know, when they do call their dad, it's not a small thing to me. Most of you know my story. Most of you know of the time I spent in the hospital. One of the greatest things that happened to me when I was in the hospital was the pastor of this church, Elder Tom Griffin, and Brother Wren Barra come to visit me. That may have been a small thing to them, but it wasn't to me. It meant a lot to me for them to take the time out of their busy schedule, because Brother Mark was preaching a meeting down home, for him to come and visit and Brother Wren to come with him. There's a question. He says, "For who hath despised the day of small things?" I find many times in Scripture where small things were used to do great things. If I were to turn to 2 Kings chapter 5, how many of you know what takes place in 2 Kings chapter 5? If I were to ask you if you know what's in 2 Kings chapter 5, and ask you who the main characters of 2 Kings chapter 5, what would you say? Would you say Naaman? Would you say Elisha? Would you say Gehazi? You know who I would say one of the biggest players in 2 Kings chapter 5 is a person who's not even named. Not even, her name is not there. She's referred to as a little maid. Have you ever read that account in 2 Kings chapter 5? I believe that God is going to use her in a mighty way. Because Naaman is a leper. And I don't know about you, I know me well. I know me very well. And if you took me captive and made me be a slave to you, I wouldn't be happy. I sure wouldn't want to help you at all. But you know what this little maid does? She said if he just knew about that prophet in Israel, talking about Elisha, he would be cured of his leprosy. To me, that's a little thing. That's not a great thing. But you know what's going to happen? Naaman is going to be cured of that leprosy. What I'm trying to get across to you this morning, and let me tell you, I'm talking to each and every one of you individually. I'm not talking to you collectively. I want you to internalize in your life. Because Brother Dave and I had some great talks yesterday on the way over here. And one of the things Satan tries to do is just get you to doubt everything. That's one of his big weapons, is to get you to doubt. God really doesn't love me. He don't really care for me. If he did, I wouldn't be going through all these trials and tribulations. Well, let me give you a hint. Look at his son. I think he loved his son, didn't he? And his son went through things I can't even fathom in my mind. The Lord does love you. And he does care for you. And you're going to have trials and tribulations in this life. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's what Jesus says. So we see here in 2 Kings chapter 5 where a little maid is used. That was not irrelevant what she did. She could have kept the information to herself. You get that? That was a relevant statement. A much needed statement. And Naaman benefited greatly from it because he was cleansed from his leprosy. We return to Judges chapter 6. We'd read about a man by the name of Gideon. I don't know about you, but if I get in a fight, I won't outnumber you. Okay? Big time. I don't have the great advantage. I don't want to take a beating. I got in a fight in high school with probably the toughest guy in our school. And his first lick, I ducked it. Praise the Lord. I probably wouldn't be standing here today. He hit the window facing and busted it to pieces. And I fought as hard as I could for a minute. And I was wore out. And this guy was just realizing we're fighting. Now, he wasn't real brilliant, okay? Okay? You get my drift there. But, you know, one of the strangest things happened that day? A boy that didn't like me and I didn't like him broke the fight up. He saved me. He really did. I was fixing to total whooping. Because I could hardly hold my hands up no more. I fought as hard as I could. The point is, if I was going to fight him, I wouldn't fight him by myself. Now, I just did something kind of stupid. I got tired of him frogging my arm. And I told him, I'm tired of it. He said, what you going to do? I turned like I was going to walk away, and then I turned right around and I hit him right there as hard as I could hit him. I stuck him. He had a bruise the next day. Thankfully, I didn't have nothing. But we read in Judges chapter 6, we read about a man by the name of Gideon. And God has commanded him to lead an army. And if I got my math right, he had 32,000. Saying here in America, there's strength in numbers. His number's going to get whittled down. His number's going to get whittled down to 300. I'd have been saying, Lord, something's wrong. No. I need a few more men to go with me. But you know what the point is? The point is that the Lord was going to give the victory. That's the point. The Lord's going to give the victory. And when the Lord gives the victory, guess who the glory goes to? Yeah. We sing victory in Jesus. And you know what? We mean it. When we sing the song of victory in Jesus, we mean it because we believe, Old Baptists believe, that salvation is completely of God. And so He should get all the glory. You've done nothing for salvation. And by the way, you didn't deserve it either. You can't say I've been so good that I deserve salvation. We're all in the same boat. If I return to 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'd read about a guy by the name of David. If I understand scripture, David was just a boy. He was just a shepherd boy. He's going to face a foe that in reality there's no way that he can defeat this soldier. If I have my calculations right, this guy is 9 feet 6 inches tall. If I have my calculations right, he's a big fellow. And he's a warrior by trade, if I can put it that way. Well, what happens? What happens? I like what David tells him. David basically tells him, you're coming in your strength. I'm coming in the name of the Lord. And the Lord will deliver me from you. I'm going to defeat you. And what did he use? What was the weapon that he used to defeat Goliath? A sling. How many of you have ever used a sling? You ever used one? Now, in Mississippi, we have something called a slingshot. You ever seen one of them? I can't actually call it here in public what we call it at home. Okay? But it's a slingshot. I'm fairly accurate with a slingshot. If I had one right now in my hand and I wanted to shoot the clock, I could come fairly close. I may not hit the clock, but I wouldn't hit over here. Okay? How many of y'all know Elder Luke Laird? Y'all know Brother Luke? Brother Luke's my cousin. His daddy is Russell. Some of you know Russell. Russell come to our house one time and he had a sling. You ever seen one? It has two long pieces of leather and a pouch. And the pouch is where you put the rock. Okay? And you take it and you put it above your head and you go round and round. You've got it held between your fingers. And when you want it to rock, to sling, you let go of one of the ropes, one of the pieces of leather. Old Rick's gonna do it. I'm standing in our front yard facing the woods. Our house is right here. Okay? It's not going to go the way you think it's going to go, but it's going to be very close. I'm shooting at the woods. You know what I hit? I hit the house. But thankfully, I hit the brick. Between the two windows. Yeah. Needless to say, I didn't try it again. But God gave that victory. And see, when we do the small things, we do the little things. I coach football, and one of our goals was to do the small things well. That's one of the goals in coaching sports, is you do the small things well. Well, to me, there's no small things. There's no small things in the church, so to speak. Your effort means a lot. What you do and what you bring to the table means a lot. Do not despise the day of small things. What can you give to the service? Singing has been beautiful. And my dad was a Primitive Baptist preacher, and this is what he used to say all the time. Good singing beats poor preaching any day. And we've had some great singing. We've had some good preaching last night. Very blessed. If we go, there's so many places I'd like to go. But if we go to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Very first verse. This is what it says. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting it thither 2 mites. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you, for a long time, I thought 2 mites was 2 pennies. When I was studying this, I found out it's not even 2 pennies. It's less value than 2 pennies. How much is that? Well, you see, she's going to give all that she has. Okay? Now, I'm not here. I'm not trying to beg for money. That's not the point. The point is, the Lord is going to bless what you give. That's the point. The Lord is going to take what you give, and He's going to bless it. If you give in the right manner. If your heart is in the right position, then He's going to bless you. And by blessing you, He's going to bless others. Brother David, very good friend of mine who rode with me, will tell you, I pastor a small church in Mize, Mississippi. We meet at 3 o'clock on 1st. Be there tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Well, actually, we canceled service to be with the church that's having their annual meeting tomorrow afternoon. And we meet the 1st, the 2nd, and the 4th. And we have 7 members. 7. That's pretty small. Pretty small. But I promise you, if you ever get a chance to come, you'll be blessed in coming. Brother David pastors, fills appointments at a church on first Sunday morning, and he comes back by Pleasant Home on his way home from that church. And he has plenty of time. He gets there fairly early. Church starts at 3. If you're there at 2:30, you're probably the last one to church. Probably the last one there. Point is, I'm trying to make here, they're a small church, but they are a great blessing. When you preach in front of them, number one, you've got all 7 engaged with you. They're paying attention. They have their Bibles open. I was preaching the other day. I read my text and I just backed up. And I thought it was at least a minute. I didn't say a word. I just stood there. Probably more like 30 seconds. And they started looking up like, well, is all you're going to do for today? And I said, you probably don't know what I'm doing. I said, I'm watching you. I said, y'all always watching me. I'm watching you. Because that's a great encouragement to the man that's standing here when you're paying attention. It's a small thing. It's a small thing. The deacon in our church over there got up after church a couple of weeks ago and he broke down in tears and he said, I'm just no more needful in the kingdom of God. I'm useless. I've been going there quite a few years now, and as far as I know, he's never missed a service. Other folks have been sick and missed. He has not missed a service. You see, he's needful. And you're needful. And a small, kind gesture, you may think it's not much, but I tell you what, my friends, it can be the greatest thing that you can give. When I first started teaching, I had a student. She wanted to get me something for Christmas. But she come from a poor situation. And she made me a little tree made out of copper. Just made out of copper wire. And she was embarrassed to give it to me. It didn't compare to those other kids whose parents had money who could buy gifts. One of my students, you may not know what I'm talking about, but I called her Smurfette. You ever watch the TV show, the cartoon, The Smurfs? She's a little bitty, petite, blonde-haired girl. And she brought me a really, really used Smurfette doll. That meant a lot to me. It meant a lot. You don't know in your life when you say a kind word that the person that you say it to needs that kind word. They may need that meal that you prepare and take to them. I'm not at liberty to tell you, but I'm going through something right now that's tearing me up. I'm not at liberty to tell you, and I apologize for even saying it. Kind words go a long way. Small things go a long way. A pat on the back. How many times have you ever walked up to your pastor and told him, I'm praying for you. I pray for you daily. What's that cost you? What does it cost you to pray for your pastor? Not just your pastor, but for everyone that's in your church. Pray for them. Doesn't cost a thing. I'd rather know that you're praying for me than for you to give me a big gift. I really would. I'm trying to get across to you this morning as best I can to don't despise the efforts you make. Don't look down on them. Don't look down on them at all. You never know just how a kind word can go a long way. Just a thought. My wife, some of you know my wife. I get amazed. I go to the church somewhere and they say, oh, Brother Ricky, thanks for the card. Y'all get it, guys? What card? I sure haven't sent a card. We'll go over to John chapter 6. There's a multitude following Jesus. And the disciples tell Jesus they don't have enough money to buy food. So just you send them away. And Jesus doesn't tell them, okay, that's what I'll do. He tells them, you tell them to sit down. And he says, what do we have? To me, this is amazing. Because there's a young boy that's there. that has five loaves. And I like what John says. This is two small fishes. Now, I've caught fish before that's probably big enough to feed a pretty good multitude. I used to work on a boat, so I know a little bit about it. Caught some pretty good sized fish. Caught a pretty good sized shark one time. And I'm not sure how good shark meat is, but it's probably about 6-8 feet long. And we could have filleted it, and we'd had some good shark meat, I guess. But it's just two small fishes. To me, there's some great points there. Number one, my food is my food. See what I'm saying? This boy is going to give his food. And I know what the disciples are thinking. This ain't going to do nothing. But see, when it's in the Lord's hands, He can take your little small effort, your little small thing that you think you're doing, and He can take it, and He can break it, and He can bless it, and it'll become a great thing. I did teach math a little bit too, okay? And I know that if you have a hole and you take some from it, you don't have more than what you started with. I know that. I almost got me a piece of that cherry pie last night. I almost was the first one to get it. And you know what? If I got a piece of cherry pie, it wouldn't have been a whole pie no longer. Wouldn't have been. But my Bible tells me that the Lord took it, He broke it, and He blessed it. And they fed all 5,000 men, plus women and children. And when they got finished, they had more than when they started. I wish my bank account would do that. Seems like my bank account just keeps going down. But I'm thankful what I have. I'm thankful. Despise not the day of small things. When I was teaching, we had a little Down syndrome girl that went to our school. And she would tell you that I was her boyfriend. Okay? And if you were a female and you come speak to me, she would tell you to leave me alone. She really would. And she would bring me breakfast every morning. I'm telling the truth. The sausage would be in this pocket, and the biscuit would be in this pocket. She would steal it from the cafeteria to bring them in. We had to go to lunch with our class. She was not in my class. But she was sitting by me. She would always sit by me. But her teacher thought that she was bothering me, so she made her sit at her table with her teacher. And I'll tell you, Brother Randy, it was the day that I had, that it was so terrible that day at school, I wasn't eating lunch. Now you kind of look at me and say, I don't miss many meals. I wasn't eating lunch. And I'm sitting at the end of my table, looking down at my students. She's over here to my left. And I look over and she's... She asked her teacher, could she just come see me just for a second? Brother David... She came to me. She said three words. Three words. I took psychology in college, and I'm telling you what I think about psychology. If you're a psychologist, I'm sorry. It's a bunch of hooey. Yeah? It really is. But I do agree with one thing that psychology will teach you. The greatest desire of a human is to be loved. She walked over and she said, I love you. And what was one of the most terrible days of my life, turned around. I said, it's not so bad after all. What does it cost you to just say, I love you? What does it cost? Do not despise the day of small things. Every single person that's had something to do with this meeting, your effort has been recognized. Maybe not by me, maybe not by someone else, but God has recognized your effort to help put this meeting on. God's recognized it. Give what you got. Give what you have. Be thankful for it. and realize the Lord can take your effort and can bless it. And it just branches off. It just goes further and further and further. It reaches more people. I know several times in my life, I begin to wonder, is there any good people left in this world? Some of the rudeness that you see. You go to a restaurant, you get very poor service or whatever. But then you go to a place and there's a person there that acts like they like their job. It doesn't go unnoticed. And one of the things that I don't like these days is a restaurant going ahead and adding the tip. Okay? My belief is, the greater you serve, the greater my tip will be. Yeah. If you're friendly and kind and efficient, I'll probably give you more than 18%. What do you think the Lord will do? If you come into His presence with singing, you make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You enter into His gates with thanksgiving and praise. Don't you think He'll take it and bless it? That's a small thing. That's a small thing. I thank you this morning for your kind order and attention. May the Lord continue to bless you.